Connectability presents the DSTO Information Sessions, held May 6, 2010. Developing a Person-Directed Plan.
My name's Brian Levin. I work for Montage Support Services.
And we are going to give you a little bit of a background of what we are going to be doing tonight, today, in this hour. The idea is to give you a little bit of a background of how person-directed planning started in the system. What person-directed planning is, and what are the benefits, what are the values behind that, and talk a little bit about the initiative that is now happening in Toronto and across the province, and also giving you an information on how to access that service if you're interested. So I'll start a little bit with the background for how we started thinking about person-directed planning. As you all know, the Ministry of Community and Social Services in 2004 started a process that is called transformation. And the idea behind the transformation process is that what we want, we all want, and the ministry wants at this point, is to improve the access to services, development of services system, to make it fair and equitable for everybody, and to improve the services that we provide in the best way we all can as a group of agencies in collaboration with the ministry and families and self-advocates. And as part of that transformation process, one of the initiatives that was launched in 2006 is called Passport. And many of you may be familiar with that. Passport has actually three components. What is called mentoring, that is a work done in the schools to mentor students before they finish high school to prepare and plan for their life after they finish school. The other part is person-directed planning, which is really to talk, to look at a plan for the future and a vision for the future, and we'll talk more about what that is. And the third part is the Passport funding initiative, where you get funding in order to access community participation support, so to have the supports that the person requires to participate in the community. So of those three components, today we are going to talk about the person-directed planning, okay? And a person-directed planning is something that we all as a system and as families in the system want to develop more and more capacity in order to be able to do a better job and support people in the best way possible. So Brian is going to talk to you a little bit about what person-directed planning is.
Can I just get an idea? I just want to get a feel for who's here today. How many people have a working knowledge of what person-directed planning is here? A few people. Is there anyone here who's ever actually had a plan done for somebody that a loved one or for somebody that you work with? Yeah, a few more people. Okay. So our role today is that we can help to shed a little bit of light on what planning can do in the life of somebody who needs supporters to help them achieve the things that they've identified that are important to them. So person-directed planning is a process that helps you think about the future. That's a really quick summary about what person-directed planning is. In terms of a little bit maybe more of a relatable idea, if you can have a conversation through your own means of communication, that's planning. And it's identifying the people who you want to be part of that process to help bring those things into a form that makes them achievable and makes them more measurable so that you can have a place to start. So person-directed planning helps others to know and understand what exactly it is that you want. And by want, I mean, it helps you to identify the things that you want to do in life and also the things that you want to identify that you maybe have never experienced before. And I always come back to the example of I've worked in residential services for quite a few years in my own life, and quite often I've run into situations where somebody will say, well, they don't like sports, for example. But when I think about not liking sports, what does that mean exactly? Like there's golf, there's baseball, there's cricket, there's swimming, there's horseback riding, there's tennis. Like there's a lot of different things that maybe people haven't been exposed to. So to be able to say that somebody doesn't like sports, that's a really general statement. So the planning process helps people to identify what they want and what they want to explore. Another aspect of planning would help identify what you need. And it's important to know what somebody needs, because if somebody is supporting them, then there's a lot of things that you may not know as a supporter that would be essential for the success of the plan. And I think in terms of, and I don't want to limit it to just these types of things, but somebody may not like being in really noisy environments, or they may not like to be in really quiet environments, or they may have a fear of this, or really be drawn to that type of, a different type of thing. So that, when it identifies what you need, that's sort of what it helps identify as the things that that people need to know to really support you well. Which also brings us down to how you want to do those things. So we all do things very differently. We all have little nuances in our own lives of how we like to do things. And planning can identify those things to help, to really help people have an organic experience that is as personal and as unique as they are. So that's another thing that planning can help identify. And the final thing that we have here is, who do you want to help you? And I think of an example. I can share an example of somebody who I'm currently doing planning with, who lives in the community. And this person has had a lifelong dream of going to Rome. And they've actually saved enough money now to go to Rome. But they didn't even know where to start in terms of identifying what they wanted to do there, what they wanted to see, if they wanted to take a tour, or if they just wanted to go on their own and discover things. So in their plan, they helped to identify some people through community connections that have actually worked in the tour industry in Italy. So we've identified those people and approached them to make that connection so that they're attached and connected to the best people that can help them achieve that goal. So that's how, just an example of how it planning can help you identify who you want to help you. So why is planning important? We have a couple of quotes here. All of us plan things. Having a vision is the only way to get the life you want and need. Not being able to speak is not the same as not having anything to say. Just coming back to that example about the Italy trip, I think of in my own life when I want to go somewhere or I want to do something, I make plans. Right from the time that I can remember when I started thinking about what I wanted to do when I was an adult, or what I want to do when I'm reaching my middle age. Like, what are those things that I would like in my own life? And that's, I plan naturally with those things. And I may not write it down on paper. I may not have other people involved in that, but I know that and I can plan, and we all do planning every day. And when we get up in the morning, we kind of plan our day out. When we maybe come into a little bit of extra money of our own, then we may think, what am I going to do with that money, or what do I want to do with it? Do I want to go on a trip? Do I want to buy something that I've always wanted? So planning can really be used to identify all those little tiny things that are important to somebody, especially when they are dependent completely upon other people to make them happen. So, Dana, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, in general, planning is about the idea of thinking about the future in small pieces. When we think about our future in a big vision, we have a possibility of thinking where we want to be in 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But that becomes a very overwhelming sometimes idea, and mostly if you need support in order to get there. But if we look at that vision and then we start piecing that in small parts, and that will lead us to what I want to do tomorrow, that will lead me to that vision. What I want to do next week, that leads me to that vision. And we all know that we all need some support in order to do things. And some of the people that we support need a little bit more than the regular support that we need. And that needs to be planned in a way that we can lead to the possibilities for the future. And when you saw the quote about not being able to speak, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything to say. It's really an important piece to remember, because many times we think about the people we support as somebody that may not be able to think about 10 years from now, may not be able to plan for their future. Doesn't mean that they don't know what they want, or they don't know what they don't want sometimes. And a planning process where the important people in their lives supports them to be in that thinking really leads to the possibility of analyzing those small pieces that will lead to what they want in the future. And mostly, the small pieces that will lead to the best life that they can ever have. Those pieces can have at different times in life. Their life changes. And what I plan today may be very different from what I planned 10 years ago, or in 10 years from now, or in 2 years from now. And that's why planning is a process that leads us to a different possibilities depending on the phase that we are in life. And life changes, like leaving school, is a very important change for the people that requires some support in order to be part of the community. And that is a good point, or important point, where good planning can happen. And it could happen at any other point before or after that, depending on the need of the person, depending on the circumstances of their life. So it's not a one-time thing. It's something that happens depending on when it's important for the person.
Okay. In terms of building a future, and life changes are kind of similar, but I think of, I'm a real example type person, and so I always relate things to people that I've been privileged to work alongside in planning. There's a particular person who I'm facilitating a planning process with them, and they have identified in their future that they would really, really love to work actually within the film industry. And so the planning process has helped identify people and places that might be welcoming to belong to that community in particular, whether it might be in an employment type situation, it may just be in surrounding themselves and people who share their vision and their passion. And through that, and this is a real key thing about why planning is important, is that when people are surrounded by people who share their interests, relationships naturally form. And I think, I'm sure that you can relate as well, but in my own life, when I've met my closest friends, it's been through things that we've had in common. And so planning is important because it helps identify those things. And not only about building relationships, I kind of jumped over to the other side there, but it also helps to maintain those relationships. And I think of another person who I'm supporting in a planning way, and they have a really large support circle around them. Their parents have been really, really actively seeking to have a lot of people in their daughter's life for basically her entire life. And she recently moved into a residential service that through an agency in Toronto. And through planning with her, it's been identified that she doesn't want to lose those relationships that her parents have facilitated for so many years, and that would be really easy to let happen. So the planning process with her has identified the ways that she can maintain that relationship with all those people. So we've gathered lists of addresses of all the people that her family has connected her to, and she has a birthday calendar, and she sends cards to them, and she'll have, you know, if she has a barbecue in the summertime, they're all invited. They always come to her planning meetings that she holds in her home now. So that's it's not only about building relationships, but it can identify things that need to be maintained so that they don't lose them, especially within an environment where the other people may not know what is really important to the person. And down there at the bottom, I think some of these are pretty self-explanatory, but solving problems. planning can actually help solve really subtle problems that may not even be identified as problems. And I think of another person who I'm currently doing planning with who really, really loves art. And that's something that has really, really been vital for their life. But they currently are doing so much art that she's lost her passion for art. So that's a problem. So her family has joined us to her in a planning role so that we can identify ways to reignite that passion. And so that's a way that we're helping to solve that problem. Anna, do you want to... I want to hog the microphone.
So what are the principles and the values that are behind the planning process is very important. Because we have to think about the person as an individual that directs the whole process of planning. That is we are working with the person to support the person to decide what is better for themselves. And we all know that the level of support that the person may require in terms of this deciding that may be different for different people. But having a circle around them and having important people in their life to support that is extremely important. It, a good planning process gives them the possibility to determine, to self-determine what is important for their life, what they like, what they don't like, and the things that they want to preserve in their future. Also, it gives them choice because part of the planning is providing opportunities to know about all the choices and the options that are available. And the options may be about how you create more supports in terms of the relationship that the person has, or maybe how we get the funding or the support that they require in order to have access to the community. It may be how what services are available for the person to be able to do what they want. And having that range of information provides the person the possibility to choose what is better for them. The inclusion and citizenship are the pillar of these values. It's all about being part of a community. We all deserve to be part of our community, and we all have that right. And being part of the community as a citizen, not as just a person who's there but doesn't participate, is also very essential. And so a good planning process needs to keep in mind that value in everything that is developed in terms of actions around the person. It always has to be person-driven. It doesn't matter if the person can tap a talk or not. It doesn't matter what the level of ability is. The person can always give us sign, and you all know how that works. And we can understand what is okay and not okay for them and what their preferences are. And the important people in the person's life are the ones that know that better. And involving those people in that planning process is essential. And of course, it's strengths-based because we are looking at what the person is good at, what the person likes, what the person can do in the best way, what are their talents, and we all have talents and gifts. And that is a very important piece for where we start. We don't start for the deficiencies, we start from the strengths.
I just wanted to maybe add on to that strengths-based piece. I learned something recently that kind of made that make sense to me. We all have a lot of strengths and skills. Like I can type 40 words per minute. I can drive a car really well. I like cooking. I can do all sorts of things. I can cut the grass really well at my house and make my yard look nice and fresh. But as you move from your strengths to talents and then up to what's your gift, the difference between those things is what there's actually an intrinsic motivation to do them. And I think that planning really identifies which skills and which strengths the person has, that there is that intrinsic motivation to do them. Because if there's no motivation to do something that you're good at, then you're not going to do it regularly. I hate cutting the grass, but I'm good at it because I'm really particular with that type of thing. But do you kind of get the difference between just identifying what people are skilled at and have as strengths? Planning really helps identify those things that really give people that feeling of accomplishment and feeling like they've really had a good day doing that. And so that's just a little bit about that. This is a little diagram. I'm going to give an example. Planning is a process that is ongoing. It doesn't stop when a planning facilitator leaves and gives you your plan. So planning starts on the left-hand side with planning. It identifies actions. So that's what we've been talking to up to this point. The actions are then followed up and supported. So, for example, I have a family member, actually my cousin, who one of his biggest dreams was to get his driver's license. And so he was involved with a planning facilitator who's not in, in Toronto, actually in Kitchener-Waterloo. And his action, he wanted to get a driver's license, but in order to do that, he needed to go through a number of different steps to get there. He, at the time, couldn't read and write, so he couldn't write the exam that was involved for the driving test. He also, his eyesight needed to be corrected with lenses, and he didn't have those at the time. Little things like that. So in his planning process, the action was identified, but then the steps needed to be identified, and each step had somebody attached to help him with that, the person who would be best suited to do that. So when those things actually happen, you get into the outcome phase of the planning where things are actually present, like that actually happened and they've achieved that. And through that, feedback comes back to the person that, you know what, I really didn't like that. I thought I would like driving, but I don't really like driving. So then it starts back at the planning. Okay, then what do we need to change or what do we need to explore? So planning is a constant, like a recycling of ideas and getting a lot of feedback from a lot of different people to make that all happen. So now we wanted to talk a little bit about the benefits of person-directed planning. So for the people that are doing the planning, because it's person-directed, it helps, it enables them actually to have that voice that they may not have had the opportunity to share because of whatever the case may be. There's a lot of different factors that may keep people's voice from being heard. So planning helps them to have a voice. Another thing that it does is that actually can create opportunities for empowerment, and those opportunities for empowerment quite often build self-esteem, that type of thing. I know when people feel empowered, then it just makes it, it makes the next step more enjoyable for them if they feel like they can take those steps and do them. The people themselves become the key decision makers instead of the people around them or the people who are supporting them. And I think that there's a huge tendency for people to think that we know what is best for somebody. And planning actually helps them to identify what decisions that they want to make. And it empowers people to keep everyone accountable for their outcomes. So it identifies names attached to certain actions that they need support with so that they don't get lost in everyday life, that people are actually accountable for those things.
There are also benefits for the families and the important people in the person's life. And one of the most important benefits is that because the planning occurs as a group of other people that are involved in the person's life, it really helps the family not to, to feel supported. It also enables the family to hear what the person really wants to say. And what we all, for all of us, when we are talking to a group of friends or a large group of people that are important in our lives, we may have a very different conversation than we have if we are one-to-one with our parents. And that same thing happens with the people that we support, that really sometimes they really need other people that are part of their life, and not just their parents, to be able to feel that they can say or they can demonstrate what they want in different ways. And for the parents, it's very important to hear that and to see that. Encourages partnership with other people. And that could be other friends, other acquaintances, service providers, people that support the person. It also gives them more, gives the family more direction in terms of clear actions step by step that we may have to take in order to support somebody to achieve what they want. And certainly respects the role of the family as the main supporters in the person's life. The family, the parents, usually are the ones that know better the person, that know better what is good and not. And they have to have a very direct and intensive participation in the planning. Planning also brings benefits for other people that are involved in a person's life, for supporters, personal support workers, people who work with agencies that are providing services to the person, and also that what we call the network of support. That could be people in the community that are interacting with a person. And that certainly gives them a better understanding of what their role is and what their role is in terms of the steps in making a plan happen. It gives them more purpose. We have seen many times what we call circles of support around a person, people who are involved in a person's life who support them. But then many times the circles do not work well or do not last too long because the members of the circle do not see that they have a real role in that person's life. A good planning process gives each individual in that circle of support a role that will help them to be more involved in a person's life and will help them to feel that that's what they are there for, and so therefore the relationship improves in many ways. Connects and strengthens the members of the circle. So when somebody receives support from different support workers or from an agency and some support workers, if they are all connected through a good planning process, they all will know that what each one of them do will help in achieving good results to what the others do. And therefore, the results for the person are much better. It also supports the person to achieve their plan when they have that kind of connection with your network of support. And certainly, it helps the people around the person to share their resources. Sometimes we see that somebody is working with the support of one or two support workers, paid with special service at home, for example, and the two different support workers have knowledge of resources that are very different, and they don't necessarily benefit from each other's knowledge. And having a good planning session can bring that to the table so everybody can increase their knowledge and understanding of the resources in the community, the things that the person enjoys doing, the things that, or the problems they sometimes face and how they solve them, and so on. And certainly is a real source of creativity and possibilities for new ideas, because when we all know that, you know, when we are alone, we can think very well, but when we are in a group and we all think, the ideas are much better because we all enrich each other with our ideas.
So how do we plan? I don't know where that slide went, but
anyway. It's coming.
It's coming? Okay. So this is something that I've always had a hard time wrapping my mind around, so I hope I can do a little bit of justice, but when someone is directing their plan, but there's a lot of different people involved, how do you ensure that that person's voice is the one that comes out as being the loudest and the strongest, especially when they don't use, you know, spoken word to communicate, or maybe they are in a situation where they have never been allowed to speak up because of the type of support they've received in the past where their voice hasn't been asked to be spoken. So person-directed planning can be done in so many different ways. So it's really hard to kind of pinpoint one specific way that it can be done. Like I said, even just having a conversation in a restaurant with a napkin in front of you can be person-directed planning if that person is identifying things that they want in their life. So planning facilitators are people who can actually facilitate that conversation between the person who's at the center of their own plan and those people in their lives who they've identified as wanting to be included in that process. So a good planning facilitator can use a whole variety of different methods to help that person express their voice. That could be, it says, you know, using planning tools like maps and path, different visual ways of helping to translate or transcribe somebody's words or their thoughts or their actions onto paper. I've also used in planning before with people who can even use words, their own words to communicate. I've also used pictures with some people that I have done a little bit of homework with their family ahead of time and found out the things that they've identified that they enjoy already. And that way I can make that connection and help facilitate that conversation before the meeting even happens with them. That way they can attach an image to some of the concepts that they want to express, so they can tell you what they want more than something else or that type of thing. A good planning facilitator also knows who to include in the process. And that is a really, really important skill that the planning facilitator has, is finding who the key players are and helping to identify the connections that they already have, those people have that can benefit the person, and do it in a way that isn't just strong-arming somebody into saying, yeah, I'll help with that, but doing it in a way that's really genuine and really able to make a change and create those implemented actions that people want. A good planning facilitator can also support the building of concrete action plans based on the person's dreams, strengths, and obstacles. The action plan is a real key, because without the action plan, the implementation usually falls apart. So a good facilitator keeps on top of the action plan and can follow up with the person who is responsible for helping that person achieve that particular goal, even if it's something really tiny. If there's somebody who is coordinating that whole process, it makes it continue and the motion forward continues to happen. And it helps identify who will support the person to achieve those goals, and I touched on that a little bit earlier. So that's what a planning facilitator does, and that's, I guess, what I am in my role as a planner, and that's what a lot of the agencies that we'll talk about in a minute, the planning facilitator is somebody that, it could be a family member or it could be somebody who you ask to help out with the process.
And as Brian was saying, planning facilitators can use different tools. And for some people, it's important to see things very graphically, and a plan would look like that. But of course, it's a discussion, and this is a result. But then from this, the different actions will come out. For other people, they use a different kind of planning process that is called PATH, and that really is very graphic. And for many of the people we support, it's important to see visually and not read, because it's difficult for them or they cannot do it. Other possibilities are in a different type of planning. And for some people, it's just a conversation on the kitchen table with three or four people around them. For some people, it's a big discussion with some graphics on the wall. For some people, it's writing what we discuss and then reading it again and looking at the different pieces. So the way and the tools that you use for planning are very different depending on what your preference is. And that's where the person and the important people in your life will decide what is better. So having told you a little bit about what planning is and what the tools we can use for that, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the initiative that is now happening across the province, but in Toronto too, that is called Person-Directed Planning Initiative. This is an initiative that started in 2009. The Ministry of Community and Social Services got some funding from the federal government to implement this initiative across the province. In Toronto, we received the possibility to have 8 agencies that were collaboratively working and that are funded to have people like Brian that do planning with the families and the individuals that are part that requested. It's really focused on planning about activities in the community, And as you can imagine, it's very important for those who are leaving school or who are in the process of leaving school in a year or two, or the people who have been at home for a while and did not really find the activities that were important for them in the community. And unfortunately, it's a very short initiative because the funding came for 2 years, although it started in November 2009, and it will end in March 2011. But in that period, the aid agencies that are participating in this initiative are providing that service. So, as Brian was saying before, to do the person-directed planning, you can do it yourself if you feel that that is helpful, or somebody from your network, or somebody from your family. You can, or you may want to have a good facilitator also that can do that. And that's what these agencies can provide. And the objective is also, for the initiative, not only to provide the direct service to 180 individuals in the period of the initiative, but also to increase the capacity in our developmental services system to do good planning. Because as Brian was saying, good planning can happen at any point in a person's life, and even while they are in service. And who is eligible for that initiative? Brian will let you know.
Well, the initiative is designed to support people in planning who are adults over the age of 18. And the specific outcome that that this initiative is designed to achieve is to help people find employment or to find educational opportunities that could potentially lead to employment. And within that umbrella of employment is included volunteer opportunities where people can give back to their communities and contribute in that type of a way. So it's a very specific initiative in terms of what the scope of the type of situations that it would address, but it's anyone who's over the age of 18, and you can contact any. These are the 8 organizations that are involved in Toronto in the Person Directed Planning Initiative. There's Community Living Toronto, Corbrook, Family Service Toronto, the Geneva Centre, Griffin Centre, JVS Toronto, Montage Support Services, and Operation Springboard. And I believe that there is contact information on the next slide. Oh, sorry, it's coming in a minute. But downstairs, there's all 8 agencies that are involved in this initiative are downstairs, and there's a pamphlet called the Person-Directed Planning Initiative, and it has the information about the specifics about the initiative and what it means and what it can contribute in a planning role, and it also has a contact information on that.
As part of this initiative, also there is a piece that includes the possibility for families to access some funding to pay an independent planner. So if you are not interested in working with any of those 8 agencies, but you know somebody or you have some connection to somebody who really is a good, you know, is a good planner, would be a good match for your situation, you can access some funds in order to pay that person to do the planning with you. There's a limit of number of people that can go into that, but it's first come, first serve. So for those who are interested in accessing those funds, it's up to a maximum of $3,000 for the whole period of the planning. And the planning includes, you know, preparing for the plan, bringing the people together, doing the plan, and also supporting the implementation of the plan. It's not just a plan, it's also implementing it, looking for the right supports, looking for the places and the opportunities for the person. And it's, as I said, it's allocated for first come, first serve. And for that part about the independent planners, families who are interested should be contacting Family Service Toronto because we are coordinating that piece of the project. And here you have all the telephone numbers and contacts for the 8 agencies, but as Brian was saying, there is a pamphlet downstairs that you will find in the person-directed planning both actually, and in all of the eight agencies, you can get that information. And as I mentioned, if you're interested in an independent planner, that's the contact number. And if you're interested in receiving service in French, also that's the number you have to call at Family Service Toronto. So we would like to open this for questions and for comments. We'd like to have a conversation with you about this. And, just stay here to hear your comments or your questions.
Does anyone have any questions?
What if you support someone outside of the agencies within another agency? Are they able to apply for a person-directed plan?
In terms of accessing an independent planner, you mean?
Or? Yes. Say someone supported by another agency that isn't within those fees, would they still be able to access those fees?
No. If it is a transfer payment agency, they will not be able to access those
fees. But they can still get planning.
They can get planning with you, of course, or with any of the eight agencies. But the funding is specifically for families who access their funding for independent planners. It doesn't go to agencies.
Were you referring to, you're supporting somebody who's currently living with... In an agency, and you want to know if one of those eight agencies could do planning?
With them, possibly.
Yeah, so not the independent. Yeah, I mean, if there's somebody who's identified, I think that it's really, the guidelines suggest that it's for adults who are interested in vocational or employment opportunities. I think that I run into that situation a little bit myself of people who are supported by organizations. And my personal thoughts on that are that if there's a collaborative approach that could happen between those agencies and the agency that's supporting the person, then it can help spread the resources to other people in the community who don't have any support. But if somebody really could benefit from having employment or vocation supports in terms of achieving specific goals, then yeah, that this project is geared to any adult who has a developmental disability in Ontario. So,
is that fair?
Okay.
Yeah. Tiny wait list. When do we have to kick into this? Is there got any?
No, but currently. What we've done as a group of the eight agencies, we've really been working in a very collaborative way. So if you contact one of the eight agencies and they're really swamped and actually are getting to the point where they're not keeping up with the numbers of people that they're doing planning with, then they'll bring that your name or your situation to the larger group, and then we'll try to accommodate as quickly as we can within that group, because some of the organizations are larger and they have a lot more family contacts. Some are smaller and aren't getting those types of referrals. So we're really trying to collaborate and make sure that the planning is effective for people quickly.
So if your question is there a wait list? No, there's not a wait list. At this point, anybody who has request that the service to any of the eight agencies will get the service as soon as possible.
This initiative is time limited.
It's time limited, yes. So if your request comes after November this year, you only have 3-4 months to work on this. For some people, that is good enough, right? But until March 2011, services will be gone. Yes.
The people, they live in the group homes. They have the right to access this service, or they don't?
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yes.
I want to go back to getting a facilitator. I'm not quite sure what you were saying about being able to obtain a facilitator. If you mean a case manager or what that means. Most places I've followed said, no, we don't, like the Geneva Center, no, we don't have case managers. Brigitte Center, same thing.
No. This isn't, we don't, the role of the planner. A planning facilitator includes some case management, but we don't call them case management. So if you call Geneva Center to provide case management, they will tell you, no, we don't provide that kind of service. But if you call Geneva Center and say, I want a facilitator for independent planning, they will tell you, yes, we provide, because they're part of this initiative. And the planners have the same skills that a case manager has, but also have the skills to do planning, which is an extra added skill and knowledge in that range.
Any other questions?
Yes. What will happen after March 2011?
At this point, we don't really know. But what we know is that as a result of this initiative, many agencies have developed quite an expertise in personal director planning. And so they are adding that to their services in general. So many agencies like Montage, like Geneva Center, like Family Service Toronto, like CLT, they will continue doing planning. You may have a wait list later, I don't know. But they will. The service will continue to be in the system, because one of the things that was done last year as part of this initiative was a training for all the agencies that are part of the developmental services system to really enhance the capacity to do person-directed planning. So there is much more capacity now than there was a year ago. And we hope that by March 31st of 2011, there will even be more capacity in the system to continue providing this service. What there may not be is the possibility of accessing dollars for an independent planner, because that comes with this initiative, and we don't know if that will continue or not in other shape or another form in the system.
I just wanted to touch quickly a little bit about the sustainability part of the planning. In the guidelines for the person-directed planning initiative, there is the organizations who are doing planning recognize that a big goal of doing those plans is to make sure that they're sustainable beyond that March 2011. So part of the planning process is to identify things that can help maintain those things that have already been identified, so that when, you know, the initiative's over, all of a sudden things come to a screeching halt for that person. It's been identified that is a concern. So the ministry has actually asked us to help create a sustainability plan that isn't dependent upon that is dependent upon a whole variety of different types of support, including community-based supports that aren't attached to developmental services, which I think that says a lot about the future of planning, and that it's acknowledging that everyone in the community can help to build relationship for people and can help connect them to what they really need, what they want in their lives. So that's, we're really working towards trying to sustain and implement. And I know that we've been talking about implementation, but that's a really key thing, is instead of this initiative enables us to help implement some of these things for people, because to have a plan identified but then have absolutely no action because there's no resources behind that becomes very difficult. So this project is helping us to identify how families can collaborate with us and with the person and with the community, all kind of all collaboratively, to make things actually happen, so that it's not just a piece of paper, but it's changes.